And now for reading and writing and radio.
Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. And every day, the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves, and make them into crowns, and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk, and swing from her branches, and eat apples. And they would play hide-and-go-seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much, and the tree was happy.
That was written by cartoonist author Shel Silverstein, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
The opening reading today was read by my daughter, Damaris Jackson, and it's the beginning of the book, The Giving Tree, by Shel Silverstein. Some of you will know this book. Demi, let's briefly tell the rest of the story for those who don't. Let's see, time goes by, and the boy gets older, and he leaves the tree, often alone, and then the boy comes back, and the tree urges him to come and play, and he says he's too big to climb and play, and he wants money. Can the tree give him any money?
"I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I have only leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city."
So the boy took the apples, and the tree was happy. Well, a long time later, the man comes back. Again, the tree says, "Come and play." But he says he's too busy to play, that he wants a house for warmth and a wife and children, and he wants a house, and can the tree give him a house?
"The forest is my house," said the tree. "But you may cut off my branches and build a house. Then you will be happy."
And so the boy cuts off the branches of the tree and carries them away, and the tree was happy. Well, a long, long time goes by, and then the boy returns, and he's now a middle-aged man, and he's invited to play again by the tree, and he says he's too old and sad to play. And by his looks his words, his marriage and family are obviously a bust. And he says he wants a boat to sail far away from here. Can the tree give him a boat?
"Cut down my trunk and make a boat," said the tree. "Then you can sail away and be happy."
So the boy cuts down the tree's trunk and takes it away. And the line in the story says, "And the tree was happy, but not really." And then finally, he comes back again as an old man. And this time the tree volunteers she doesn't offer to play, but says, "I have nothing left to give you. I'm sorry, I don't have any apples."
"My teeth are too weak for apples," said the boy.
And then she says, "I don't have any branches for you to swing on."
The boy says he's too old to swing.
And she doesn't have any trunk for him to climb up.
"I'm too tired to climb."
"I have nothing left to give you. I'm only an old stump."
"I don't need very much now, just a quiet place to sit and rest. I am very tired."
"A stump is good for sitting and resting." And so the boy, who's now an old man, sits down on the tree, which is now a stump, and the tree was happy. And that's the end of the story. Demi, when your sister Jillian read this to you in the kitchen, to you and your other sisters, I recall that it made a tremendous impression. Do you want to tell us about that?
"Yes, I was doing dishes, and she came in and started telling me the story, as best as she could remember it. And as she went along, we both kept getting sadder and sadder, and finally could hardly even get through the last few lines. And Mom came down at the very end to find us both in tears and having abandoned the dishes altogether.
And Megan had left the kitchen because she was so close to tears.
Yeah, that's right. As I recall,
the three of you were very much affected. And at that time, I hadn't read the book, and I thought that it was because it was such a good book.
And it was hard to know whether it was the way that Jillian told it that made it so effective, or whether it was just that it seemed very sad to us, that the tree was so sad.
Well,
and the man was sad.
Well, later on, I asked Jill about it, and she said, it wasn't that I thought it was such a great book. I was just so sorry for the tree.
Uh-huh.
Was that the way that you felt?
Yes.
Although I think that we could be sorry for the man, too, or the boy.
Uh-huh.
I know I'm going to be treading on the toes of some people listening to this program, people who love the book The Giving Tree. But recently I've had a little article published in Language Arts, and it's called The Other Giving Tree. And Demi, let you and me read The Other Giving Tree together, and then let's discuss giving, loving and giving, which is what these books are both about. The reason that I wrote this, by the way, is because I really was upset by The Giving Tree and by its message. And so a friend and I, who discovered this together, wrote this article together. So here's the story of The Other Giving Tree. Do you want to start, Dan?
There once was a tree that loved a boy. Beside her stood another tree. She loved the boy, too. And the boy loved both trees. To swing in their branches, eat their apples, smell their blossoms, rest in their shade, and play peekaboo with them behind their trunks. And the trees were happy.
Then the boy grew into a youth and no longer wanted to play in the trees, but to buy things and have fun. "Can you give me some money?" he asked. "Not money," they replied, "but why don't you gather our apples and sell them?" So the boy did, and the trees were happy to have been able to help him.
The boy stayed away a long time, and when he returned, a man, he was now too busy to respond to their invitation to swing and play. He wanted a house to keep him warm, and to hold a wife and family. "Can you give me a house?" he asked.
"I have no house," said the first tree, "but you may cut off all my branches to build one." And the boy did, but the pile was not large.
"This will not make as big a house as I want," he said to the other tree. "How about you? I need your branches, too."
"Uh-uh," said the other tree. "Apples, yes, branches, no."
"You are a selfish tree," said the boy. And taking the branches off the first tree, he carried them off.
"I'm happy," said the first tree. "I'm happy, too," said the other tree.
A long while later, the boy came back, now a pot-bellied, middle-aged man. The trees were glad to see him. "Come, boy, come and play," whispered the first tree.
"I'm too old and sad to play," said the boy. "I want a boat that will take me far away from here. Can you give me a boat?"
"You can cut down my trunk and make a boat," said the first tree.
"That will not make a very big boat," said the boy. He looked at the other tree. "How about your trunk, too?"
"Slam off, kid," said the other tree. "If I give you my trunk, I will no longer be a tree."
"You're still as selfish as you ever were," said the boy, and he cut down the trunk of the first tree and carried it off. And the first tree, now a stump, said she was happy, and the other tree said, "So am I."
After a long time, the boy came back again.
The stump said, "I'm sorry, boy, I have no apples to give you, no branches, no shade, no trunk to climb. I have nothing left to give you. I am only an old stump, but you can sit on me."
"That's okay," said the old man. "I'm too old to climb and swing, and I haven't any teeth to eat apples. All I need is an old stump to sit on."
And he sat down, and the stump was happy.
But as he was sitting, he looked over at the other apple tree.
"There's that selfish tree," he said, "that wouldn't give me anything after her apples. She's not as happy as you are, is she?"
The stump didn't answer.
After a while, the sun got very hot. The wood under the boy was hard. The boy looked over at the other tree. Children were swinging on her limbs. The birds were nesting and caroling in her branches. Adults were picnicking on the grass, and old folks were resting in her shade. Everyone was laughing and happy.
"Stump," said the old man, "the sun is too hot, and this seat is too hard for my old bones."
He got up and crept over to the other tree. "Would you mind," he said, "if I took just a small corner of your shade to cool me from the hot sun?"
"Of course not," said the other tree. "Take all the shade you need."
So the old man sat down in the shade.
And the stump wept.
So is that a sad story too, Denny?
Yes.
Well, it's still sad for the one tree.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think it's sad for the other tree. in the first version, neither one is happy. This book, by the way, is very, very popular. You'll find it in most bookstores and in all the libraries, and it's often been used to illustrate a really beautiful example of giving. And it's been read aloud and acted, and I hear it in church. The dust jacket says it's a moving parable for all ages. Now, a parable is a story that illustrates something else, usually a moral attitude or a religious principle. So this book, The Giving Tree, and also my story, The Other Giving Tree, is supposed to be telling us something beside the obvious story. What do you see it as telling us, Demi, both of them? Maybe we should take the giving tree first.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the first giving tree, it could have been a parent-child sort of relationship, where the child is always wanting things and the parent is always right there, giving the child everything that he wants.
And the child never does grow up enough to give anything to the tree.
Yeah, not really. Or at least the child somehow, well, I don't know, the child comes back in the end, but it's sort of like when they neither of them have anything left to share.
Well, then there was another one that you were mentioning to me, too, that you said you thought was pretty obvious.
Right. I thought it was pretty obvious that the tree had to be the female and the little boy had to be a boy. And I was trying to picture what it would be like if you turned the roles around backwards and had the tree be male and then have it be a little girl. And I really couldn't picture it that way. It seemed like the story just wouldn't work.
Then you mentioned the one about the earth.
Oh, right. Okay, the fact that mankind is constantly cutting down the environment without really thinking about it, and without thinking about whether it's able to replenish itself or not, that as long as it's something that can be used in the hand right now, that man is willing to use it.
So that you would say that the tree represents the earth, that we're polluting mm-hmm. and cutting down and using up all the natural resources of and that mm-hmm. sort of thing, and the boy represents all of us people mm-hmm. who are chopping off branches and cutting down trunks mm-hmm. and then just leaving it.
Yeah. I think, sad to say, even the expression of both of them is fairly true to form, that the earth isn't giving us very much trouble when we take things from it.
It's just sort of there, sort of exuberant at this point.
Right. And I don't see that a lot of humankind is really very appreciative or very happy with what it gets.
Somehow we just keep wanting more mm-hmm. when we keep getting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a way that Silverstein might have written this book that would have been a better expression of giving or of the boy giving something? I've, for instance, thought, Johnny Appleseed goes around and he plants apple trees. And here's mm-hmm. a boy that has really destroyed an apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have planted the seeds. You know, he could have said, well, you know, we'll start some new little apple trees.
Right.
But he didn't do anything like that. He just took.
Huh. Even if he'd been more appreciative.
He never really said thank you at all, did he?
No.
He just went off with the stuff and then he came back and he was discontented.
You
haven't been able to see the pictures in the book, those of you listening, but there's not a happy expression on that boy's face from the time after he's grown too big to climb and play and so forth. He's a happy little boy, and I think that tells us something. The book is giving us a message, whether it means to or not, about what it's like to be grown up. Notice those words. He's too big to play, he's too busy to play, he's too old and sad to play, and then he's too weak, he's too old, he's too tired, he only wants to sit and rest. And I shouldn't think, if I were a child reading that book, that it would make being grown up a very attractive sort of place to be.
Definitely.
I think that kids need to be told that grown-ups can play and do play, and that they shouldn't forget how to play, that it's possible to keep on, loving and giving and playing and rejoicing in life. In our book, The Other Giving Tree, we've tried to show that the other giving tree is able to keep on giving because she doesn't really give up any part of herself, of what makes her herself. Mm-hmm. That her apples she can give away, her leaves and her shade and her trunk to climb and all these sorts of things. But once she starts being lopped down and cut away, why, then she's no longer a tree. And she's no good to the to anybody, really. And the boy isn't happy when he takes away all these things, that he isn't satisfied. But as I read this book, too, I see the tree as much as at fault as the boy. Because he never says, will you give me your branches? He says, can you give me a house? And she falls all over herself to give him her branches. You know, mm-hmm. She's eager to cut off her branches. And then he says, can you give me a boat? He doesn't say, you know, give me your trunk. She volunteers to lop herself off and become a stump. So that she is helping him to be as selfish a boy as he is. And I think this is a very pernicious kind of giving. The kind of giving that helps somebody else to be selfish. I feel there's got to be a time when you say, for instance, to your child, look, I have supplied you for a long time, and now it's your turn to go out and supply yourself and supply others to pass on, that sort of thing. That mm-hmm. if we just keep giving forever, that this is crippling to the people that receive. Why don't we leave the books for a few minutes and talk about just giving. What sort of giving makes both the giver and the receiver happy?
I've been trying to think back over giving situations in my past, and if I try and think about things that I've given to people, the things that I remember are the things that I've made. And I think that has a lot to do with really thinking about them when I decide to make something, and also the time put into it. And I think often those have been received very well.
I think we should point out that to receive somebody else's gift is a gift to them.
Mm-hmm.
You've certainly known people that when you do something for them or give them something, they say, oh, you shouldn't have. And you feel, well, why shouldn't I have? Why shouldn't I give you a gift? Why don't you receive it and say, thank you, I'm so glad that you gave this to me, instead of, oh, you shouldn't have it, mm-hmm. it when you reject it. I think it's important that we give whether our gifts are rejected or not, but to be able to take something and to say thank you and not figure you quick have to give somebody else something in return to keep it always even.
Yeah.
Doesn't that bother
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it's very difficult when people feel as though they're having to keep dibs on, or keep little, what?
keep a record,
yeah.
A balance, so that the teeter-totter is always even. I've never given you anything more than you've given me.
Yeah.
And this makes it very hard.
I also did have a friend that really liked to give people things and thought about it quite a bit. But if any of us tried to give anything back, she would be very upset and give us arguments for hours at a time. And we've talked to her about it, and she's gotten better, but it's still something that's there, that she's very uncomfortable.
One of the best gifts I've gotten recently was from Elspeth, who gave me a birthday present, and it was a present of herself. It didn't cost any money. She made a coupon book, and you could tear out a coupon, or I could tear out a coupon, and she put dates on it as to when it could be reclaimed, just like the ones you get from the grocery store. Breakfast in bed, one breakfast in bed was a coupon, and then there was one head massage and one foot massage, and I enjoy those sorts of things. And the one that made me laugh the loudest was that she said, this coupon entitles you, let's see, how did she put it? I will go with you to one cultural event without complaining. And then she put down concert, lecture, etc. And I did collect on that one. So that was giving of herself, and Demi, you've always given of yourself, and the things, your gifts are usually things you've made, poems or drawings or valentines or
hot pads or advent calendars.
Or baskets made out of grass or so forth. A couple of books that you might want to look at in classes is Hoban's A Birthday for Frances, where she has trouble giving her sister a birthday present. And then there's another book called by the Zemax called Mommy, Buy Me a China Doll, where the mother does not give the little girl the China doll, and yet they both end up happy, whereas unlike in the giving tree, they both end up unhappy. Well, we've thought about giving today. For your writing, how about sending us your stories about giving and receiving? Why do you like to give, and why do you like to receive? Do you think you can ever give too much or take too much? Tell us about when you felt especially good about giving something. or bad about giving something, and then just the opposite when you felt especially good about taking something, or have felt bad about taking something. You might write something about money in being able to give. Has anybody ever rejected a very special gift that you've given, or not realized that it was a special gift? Let's end with this rhyme. Demi, read it up to Friday, okay?
Okay. Monday's child is fair of face. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Wednesday's child is full of woe. Thursday's child has far to go. Friday's child is loving and giving.
So today, let's be Friday's child, and let's talk about our thoughts on loving and giving, and also on loving and receiving.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.